Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Can you tell me how these things happen?
That voice.
Have I trusted in love too much?
That unmistakable voice.
When did the magic vanish? Have I somehow lost my touch?
It's a voice famously described as one octave below laryngitis.
Could I love you? Could he love me?
It's a long, long while.
The voice belongs to Lotta Lenya, or Lenya as she was called by just about everyone. She married Kurt Weill first in 1926, then again in the 30s, and sang his songs throughout her career. And as Weill's centennial year gets underway with musical events and celebrations, one cannot forget Lenya.
Und das Schiff mit 8 Segeln und mit 50 Kanonen wird beflaggen den Mast.
Lenya said it was Bertolt Brecht who showed her how to be herself, to forget the audience on stage. No one who performs Weill's songs can fail to be influenced one way or another by the impact of that style, that atmosphere. Lotta Lenya was the embodiment of the Weill sound. And the Weill-Lenya partnership was one of those rare cases in which a composer really did have an embodiment such as that, which makes taking on the Weill repertoire a bit daunting, even for the likes of Teresa Stratus.
In 1979, the first day of rehearsals of the Metropolitan Opera of Mahagoni, John Dexter, the director, said to me, "Teresa, if you look out into the dark audience and look right down the center, you'll see a shock of red hair, and that's Kurt Weill's widow, Lotta Lenya." And I thought I'd go through the stage of the opera house. After I was introduced to her, I'd run out there and I'd say, "Oh, Madame Lenya," to which I must say later on when we became friends, she said, "Oh, you always called me Madame Lenya in the beginning." She said, "I'd never been called that before in my life." And I'd say, "Is there anything I can change? Or could you please tell me, is there anything I can do that you would prefer? Please tell me." And she'd sort of pat my hand. And she said, "No, nothing, dear. Just do what you're doing." But all the way through the rehearsals, I thought, "Oh my goodness, I'm so hopeless. She won't tell me a thing. She's not wasting her time." And then after that, she gave me all the music that was unpublished. And that became the recording of the unknown Kurt Weill. So I guess she liked me.
Stratus's enormously successful Unknown Kurt Weill recording was released in the early 80s. And the performances are, of course, very much in her own style.
There's no way to imitate Lenya. To be a copy of anything never has interested me. I believe that's outside of whatever admiration she might have had for my way of singing her husband's music. She didn't have the fear that I was going to try to imitate anyone else.
So strong and indelible as the Lenya Weill recordings are, there have been strong artists like Stratus. There have been the famous recordings of Mack the Knife by Louis Armstrong and Bobby Darin. And there's been a steady stream of others searching for new ways to bring Weill's songs up to date.
I'm not a purist. I happen to love all interpretations of Kurt Weill's music. For instance, I really love the Doors version of Alabama Song.
Well, show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why.
The Doors' recording of Weill and Brecht's famous song from Mahogany appeared in the late 60s.
Oh, don't ask why.
Oh, don't ask why.
Opening the way for recordings by Marianne Faithfull.
For if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die.
I tell you we must die.
David Johansen.
I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die.
Dave Van Ronk.
We now must say goodbye.
We love
Ralph Chouquette and Richard Butler.
And must have whiskey, oh, you know why.
Wonderful, just wonderful.
Yeah.
They're all great interpretations. So, you know, and then there's, of course, always coming back home to Lenya. So.
Lotta Lenya died in 1981 at age 83. Teresa Stratus spent many days with her just at the end of her life.
She was very generous, whatever she said about me, that I'm the only one and that she passes the crown to me and carry on the torch and all those things. But the fact of the matter is that there's only one Lenya, and that's the royalty is Lenya, as Callas was, as Piaf was. And as these very original people were. It's absolutely direct. They don't try to endear themselves in any way. I think that directness and that honesty is a very important lesson for all young singers.
Teresa Stratus's recording, The Unknown Court Viol, now a Nonesuch CD, is still available. And Hal Wilner's eclectic collection entitled September Songs is on the Sony Classical label. Look for Stratus on stage at Symphony Space on March 25th, reading Lenya's letters as part of Wall-to-Wall Kurt Weill. And for a number of other Weill events, including the Brooklyn Academy of Music's major production of Weill's The Eternal Road, opening Monday night.
These precious days,
rejoice in the variations.
I'll spend
and, by all means, go back to the original. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkoe.